This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
عليه الصلاة والسلام has named me Abdullah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses in my mention. And he recited to the people, وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى مِثْلِهِ فَآمَنَ وَاسْتَكْبَرُ. He recited, and a witness from Bani Israel, from the tribe of Bani Qunaqah, from the other tribes of Bani Israel, the Jewish tribes in Medina, are a witness to what has been sent, the message of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he has believed, and others have turned away in arrogance. And he recited a second verse. He says, قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. Sufficient is the witness of Allah between me and you, and the witness of the one who has knowledge of the book. This is the narrative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, labeling him as someone who has knowledge of the book, even before Islam. He said, you are in a city where your neighbors are the angels. The city of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a sword that is sheathed. For if you kill this man, if you kill Uthman radiallahu anhu, the angels will abandon you. Your neighbors will abandon you. And Allah will sheathe his sword until the day of judgment. And they did not heed his warning. And they said, kill the Jew and kill Uthman. This is one of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. One of the scholars of Islam. One of those who was promised paradise. And was a close companion to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And when Ali radiallahu anhu, after what happened had happened, Ali took the Khilafah radiallahu anhu, he wanted to leave to Iraq. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu came to him and said, stay where you are. Hold firm to the pulpit of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Do not let go. Do not leave. For if you leave, you will not see the pulpit of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam ever again. And Ali radiallahu anhu left to Iraq, and what happened had happened, and the fitna had taken him. The tribulation had taken him. And near the end of his days, Abdullah bin Salam took a sword of wood, made out of wood. And he refrained from the fitna between Ali radiallahu anhu and Muawiyah and the companions. He secluded himself until he passed away in the year 43 of the Hijrah of the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, this is a fascinating story. These incidents are something to reflect and ponder. And if I may, let's extract a few lessons from the life of Abdullah bin Salam, may Allah be pleased with him. The first being knowledge and action. Not just knowledge, knowledge and action. He was one of the scholars of Bani Israel. There were others that were knowledgeable amongst his people. He did not have knowledge that other people did not have, that other people were not aware of. And what Safiyyah radiallahu anha, the mother of the believer, narrates reinforces this. because Huyay ibn Akhtab, her father, and her uncle Aba Yasir favored her over all of the children. And they would not be in a gathering except they would give her extra attention. And she said, when the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina, my father and my uncle went to investigate. Why? Because they had knowledge of a messenger that would be sent. So they came back at sunset. They were depressed and miserable. They walked with heavy steps. And when I approached them, they did not pay any attention to me. It's as if I was not there. And I heard them talk, I heard them speak. My uncle asked my father, "Ahu, ahu? Is it him? Is it the one who had been mentioned in the scriptures? Have you verified it?" He said, "Yes, it is him." So he asked him, "What will you do? What should we do?" He said, "By Allah, we will be his enemy. We will be his enemy." So Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu is not the only one that had the knowledge amongst his people. Others were knowledgeable, were learned, yet they did not believe in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They did not have action. They did not substantiate that knowledge. They were not sincere in that knowledge. Just because they expected that messenger to be from amongst them, and that was not the case, they turned away in arrogance, in envy of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but not Abdullah bin Salam. Because he was sincere in that knowledge before his Islam, even though that knowledge was not necessarily Islamic knowledge. It foretold of Islam, it foretold of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but it was not Islamic knowledge. And so his sincerity was a reflection of his knowledge. His action, his iman, was seen and it was rewarded. He reaped the fruits of that knowledge. And it is interesting because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as mentioned in Bukhari, he says, if ten chiefs or 10 of those who are knowledgeable believed in me, all of the Jews would have believed in me. And the scholars have said people that are of knowledge or people of leadership amongst those tribes, yet very few of those believed. And Abdullah bin Salam was one of those who had believed. And so, when that verse that was revealed in his mention, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى مِثْلِهِ فَآمَنَ وَاسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ, the Prophet, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a man from amongst you witnessed against you and he believed and you were arrogant, what is belief? Is it anything but action? In order to believe, what is the definition of belief? It's not words that are just uttered. And it's not belief in the heart. Rather, it is as well as also action. Action with the lips. That is the definition of belief, of iman, according to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he say here? He says that he believed. So he acted on that iman. And in the other verse that was revealed in his mention, he calls him as a person of knowledge. He singles him out as a person of knowledge of the scriptures. So were the other people not knowledgeable of the scripture? They were, but they did not believe. They did not act on that belief. They did not act on that knowledge. And so that was disassociated. That knowledge was disassociated. You're not knowledgeable. You don't know what's right, what's wrong, if you don't act on it. It has to be reinforced by our actions. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, is knowledge then limited to Islamic knowledge? Is it limited to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed? Yes, it's a big part. And we are required and commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to learn about our faith, to learn about Islam, to have knowledge so that we act on that knowledge. Know how to pray so that we can pray. Know how to fast. What rulings pertain to our lives. Whatever they may be, marriage, divorce, inheritance, funeral rites, we're requested to seek that knowledge. But is it limited? Right now you're at university, and I assume most of you here are in a program, learning something. Are you not gaining knowledge? Are you not seeking knowledge? It's not a rhetorical question. Are you not seeking knowledge? Do you not call it knowledge? No. It's called knowledge, right? It's not Islamic knowledge. Does that mean you will be rewarded for it? Or you will be punished for it? Or does it just stand in no man's land? You can go, you can go either way. Well, let's reflect, let's ponder, let's go back to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ انظروا مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, observe. This is one of many verses. Observe what is in the heavens and what is in the earth. Observe. What does that mean? Learn. Learn. Get to know about the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth. Could that mean the universe? The cosmos? Do we not learn about these things? Has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not instructed us to gain that knowledge, that beneficial knowledge, to keep us firm on our belief? Not only that, but to show us the truth. How many here are studying sciences, or physics, or geography? Somebody, you know, people put up their hand. This is mentioned in the Quran. This is good knowledge. This is knowledge that we need to understand the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't have knowledge of physics, you might not understand some of the concepts. You might not understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. You might not have what you need to stay firm and on the truth. The secrets of the cosmos. Do we not want to know why Allah created what He created? How we get light from stars that are hundreds and millions of light years away? Or how the sun or the earth orbits the sun or the other planets? But what is the determining factor? Just like the story of Abdullah bin Salam. Sincerity and action. Being sincere in seeking that knowledge, who are you seeking it for, and what is the sake? What do you want to do with that knowledge? And if you act on that knowledge, how could you disbelieve in Allah and the creation of Allah when you learn and know about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's a good question. And so, that's not all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنْفُسِهِمْ. We will show them our signs. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking. We will show them our signs in the horizons and within themselves. We have a field called the humanities. Life sciences? Yeah. Sounds familiar? we learn about ourselves as individuals and people in society? Do we not seek knowledge about how people speak, how people communicate, how people interact, how they walk, how they talk, why they do what they do? Physics? Not physics. Psychology? Psychology, yes? Anybody here? There you go, we have at least one hand, mashallah, that's good. Maybe a second right there, that's excellent. Sociology? Life sciences? The body? There is not anyone here except they are seeking some type of knowledge that, if they are sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them for it. And knowledge that will only increase their faith. Knowledge that will keep them firm. So don't let it all go to waste. Because you're more deserving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the guidance of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam are better than that. Are better than to have us waste our lives and seek this knowledge for this dunya alone. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, this is seen in the tradition of the Prophet. In all aspects of the prophetic tradition. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam called the people by the creation of Allah. He called the people by the way he interacted with them. He knew how to interact with people. He understood people. And this is all knowledge. This is all beneficial knowledge. And so, the question is, who are you seeking this knowledge for? And what are you going to do with this knowledge? This is not a question I can answer for you. It's something you have to answer for yourself. I've given you the keys. I have told you that through sincerity and action on that knowledge, you will seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But doing that is up to you. Determining that goes back to you. And so, let's move on to a second lesson from the life of Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu. We look at his status amongst the people. Forget about the believers. Let's look at his status amongst his people before Islam. They said he's the best of the best. He's the most learned. The people elevated him. The people gave him status amongst themselves. And when we look at it, in our day and age, that is the case. Forget about Islamic. Someone that has a PhD, Are they the same in the eyes of the people as somebody that has a bachelor's or a diploma? Somebody that has a master's has a different status, right? Even if somebody has two masters, they're a level above a person that has a master, right? They're looked at that way. Oh, this person is knowledgeable. Look at the letters he's got behind his name. Yeah, doctor, PhD, MD, all of that stuff. This is how we see, this is how we look at each other. This is how we deal with one another. It's sad because sometimes our priorities are not in order. Just like those who did not believe in Abdullah bin Salam. His people, they knew. If this man says something, he's on the truth. He's the most learned among us. Yet the people, out of arrogance and envy, turned him away. They turned him away. So whether it be the lack of degrees or the abundance of degrees, what does it go back to? Do you have arrogance? Are you arrogant when it comes to the truth? Are you an expert in every field? Do you go to the hospital and start, you know, performing procedures? Or you go to the pharmacy and tell the pharmacist, let me fill in. Oh, here, have some of this, you'll be fine. Is that the same? Is that logical? Does that make sense? No. Yet, You have to give those of knowledge their status. It's not in your hands. It's a sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has decreed. Those of knowledge are not the same. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah will increase those who have believed and those who have been given knowledge by degrees. Their mention will be elevated. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Are those who know equal to those who do not know? Are they equal? No. Just like the examples we've given. You're not going to go to your friend because you love him and you know, you've been buddies and pals for you know, your whole life and say, listen, you think I should go for this procedure or not? No, the doctor is going to tell you need a procedure and you don't. And so let us realize that. And let that be a motivation for us to seek knowledge, to seek a way to paradise. Whatever field we're in, maybe we're not capable, we're not gifted in seeking Islamic knowledge. That's fine. The world doesn't end there. You seek what you can, but excel in your field so that you are raised. You're elevated in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that leads us to the third lesson from the life of Abdullah bin Salam. We look at his actions at the time of Fitna. At the time where the companions fought amongst themselves. May Allah be pleased with all of them. As our scholars have said, we do not pass judgment. That is something pertaining to them. But look at his actions. He was able to protect himself. Not only that, being on the receiving end, look at the reaction he got. People that did not know their limits, they did not know their capabilities. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ May Allah have mercy upon a man or a woman that knows their capabilities, that knows their limitations. Do we know our limitations? Will we be able to protect ourselves? Not just through the knowledge that we seek, but also through the knowledge that we do not have. Do we, when it comes to Islamic matters, leave these matters to those who are knowledgeable? Refer to those who are knowledgeable? Or do we favor our desires and our whims, our opinions? What comes first? What is our priority? Because we do not want to doom ourselves. We do not want to be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something that we shouldn't have been held accountable for. Because when you come on the Day of Judgment, if you did not know something, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will excuse you from his punishment. Perhaps Allah will overlook that action because of your ignorance. But as soon as you give your opinion, as soon as you speak in a matter that you have no knowledge of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you to that. Because your tongue has spoken against yourself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will either reward you or punish you. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the night. So my dear brothers and sisters, these, specifically Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, is a hero of the past. Why? Because we can extract such lessons that are relevant to us in our day and age. It shows us that, you know what? If you have knowledge and you have sincerity, you will be led to the truth. You will be led to Islam. Not only that, but you will be given status amongst the people. Status that will last. Status that is not just in the dunya, but in the akhirah. And with who? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from stories like this, we learn where to draw the line, where to say, I don't know, to step back and just focus on whatever your speciality is. And if we do that, we can sincerely ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessings in our knowledge and in our actions, and to elevate our rank and mention our mention with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you all, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you beneficial knowledge and to help you act, to give you the strength to act on that knowledge, my dear brothers and sisters, no matter what knowledge you are seeking. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you sincere and firm. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wa ta'ala.